We appreciate the good meal that we had. That was just another fine feast. It's just wonderful to sit down to food like that. It's just a joy. It's just fun. And we appreciate all the good cooks. And Mike's given me a good report on Sandra June's cooking out in New Mexico. And evidently, she surprised us all. No, I'm just kidding. She's doing great, and that's wonderful. I know how much food means to a working man. I do know that. I've heard others talk. So I'm not completely in the dark on that. Well, I think Joe wants a short sermon this afternoon. I can detect that.
No, I just don't want to say.
Oh, I'll try not to take up a whole lot of time, but I want us to go over several points, though. And the title of this particular lesson this afternoon is What Gifts Mean to Children. What gifts mean to children? You can detect by studying Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that Jesus delighted in the presence of children. He liked to have children around him. There aren't too many references to that, but on one occasion, you know, there were some parents who were trying to come see Jesus, and they wanted their children to see Jesus and to be with them and let him bless them. And the disciples thought it was inappropriate on that occasion, tried to keep them away, and he got kind of angry and said, "You let those kids come. Let them come." I think he liked to be in their presence, probably for several reasons. One of which was that was the nearest thing to heaven he could get to while he was on the earth, because there was pure innocence and a child. And when he left heaven to come to the earth, he left that. But it was in the children. And that's why he would say, you've got to turn and become as a child. If you want to enter the kingdom of heaven, you've got to humble yourself. You've got to become like a child. There's a difference in becoming like a child in these characteristics that are worthy of imitation, and then other words that we use that indicate sort of a childishness, you know, selfish, that sort of a thing. But he didn't ask us and tell us to imitate the childish things. Paul said, now that I've become a man, I've put away childish things. But what Jesus wanted us to imitate was what was good in those little kids, and particularly the humility that was there. And of course, secondly, you have to get innocence back by forgiveness. So I think he thought about children. He liked to be with children. And I think a lot about my childhood. Now, I hope I'm not abnormal in this. I guess you go back and you think about yours. I got out an annual or two yesterday and looked at the old pictures, you know, of how it was way back then. And that was fun, see the pictures and how you were and how they were then, and kind of recall the feelings and that. And then I got out an album of pictures when we were first married and had a young family and trying to get educated and trying to do this and that just as youngsters. And that was fun to look at. And to see my little kids and just to remember how they were and how precious they were. I loved to be with my little kids. They were just a joy. Well, anyway, when I think about kids and I think about my childhood and I remember my experiences and I remember what it was like to get a present, what gifts meant to children, what they mean to children, what they meant to me. The first point on the outline is this. Gifts mean that somebody loves me. Oh, it's nice to know that. Somebody would give me something. Maybe it was mother or daddy. Maybe it was at Christmas time. Maybe it was at a birthday. Maybe it was something special. Somebody just went off on a trip and they wanted to give you something. Daddy would sometimes bring back when we were just little bitty kids. He'd bring us back little toys, this or that, little animals or little cars. And I treasured those things for years and years. I kept them, at least some of them, a long time. Gifts mean a lot to little children. And they mean, first of all, that somebody loves me. When you read about gifts in the New Testament, You will also see that connection. And it's not coincidence. It's the way things are. And so God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, John 3:16. You read of the various gifts back in Romans chapter 5. He'll be talking about the gift that Jesus is. You know, we got sin by means of Adam, and by means of Jesus Christ, we have this righteousness. And Jesus was the free gift of God. God gave us this gift. Why did He do that? Well, God so loved the world that He gave. And when we love people, that's what we tend to do. We want to maybe give a kind word, maybe write a nice little note, make a phone call. If you're into technology, you send a text. I don't do things like that. But if you're into technology, you send a little text or a note or something or other like that. Or maybe on a graduation day or, you know, some sort of a celebration, you send a gift. You buy a gift. You in a non-begrudging way, you like to give. Go out of your way and spend something or exert yourself. Do something. I want them to know that I care. I want them to know that I love them. Sometimes we'll say that in notes when people are bereaved, won't we? They're grieving over the loss of a loved one. We've heard about that. And we might say something like, I want you to know that we're thinking of you. We're praying for you. And that's good for them to know and to realize and to be assured of. Love tends to give gifts. And God is love. And God gave what no one else could. That's the unique thing about the ultimate gift of God, being in a position to bestow what nobody else could. And He gladly gave that. Secondly, what do gifts mean to children? It means that somebody knows either what I needed or what I wanted. Now, sometimes those are the same things. Sometimes they're not. I think I've mentioned before one Christmas when Ethan was a little bitty kid, and he's always opening up this Christmas present. He's so excited and so thrilled, and he gets it all the wrapping off, and there's this pair of pajamas. And he throws them up in the air, and he says, "Where's the gift?" That's what I mean about sometimes it's not the same. What we need and what we want. God always knows what my needs are and what my wants are. And He knows the times that they are the same. He knows that a lot better than I do. Sometimes my wants are not what I need. Sometimes my needs are not what I want. But sometimes every now and then they're the same. They're correlated. And I appreciate that. And so we pray to the Father for so many things. And He blesses us because He wants us to have what we need and what we want. It's a joy to get what you want, isn't it? To open a present and there it is. And it's, man, that's just what I wanted. It just thrills you sometimes when you're a little child. And number three, receiving a gift, giving a gift to a little child means this is something special. Maybe this is a special day. This is a special occasion. This is really a special event. And it's so fun to receive these blessings from other people, things from God. Let's see, in Ephesians 2, verses 5 and 6, there's a passage here I want us to see, I want us to get. For even when we were dead through our trespasses, God made us alive together with Christ. By grace have you been saved. And raised us up with Him. And made us to sit with Him in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. Now there is the ultimate gift that God has given us. That it is a special thing. The day that I became a Christian, God made me to sit with Christ in the heavenlies. Remember we talked about that on Wednesday night. The heavenlies, the spiritual domain where the fight goes on between right and wrong. The church and the world, sin and righteousness, God and the devil. And he says, the day that you became a Christian, God made you to sit with Christ in the heavenlies. What a bestowal of blessing. What a paramount gift is that. Or you can go to Colossians chapter 2. Let's pick it up in Colossians 2. Verse 13. And you, Paul says to the saints at Colossae, being dead through your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, you, I say, did he make alive together with him, having forgiven all our trespasses, and so on and so on. So the ultimate gift of all the gifts that you have is your spiritual gift of salvation. We will sometimes say that in a prayer. The men that lead prayer here will often do that. Father, we're grateful for all of our blessings, especially those spiritual blessings. Amen and amen. The material things, just to hear for a moment, they go the way of the world. They will go the way of all flesh. But the spiritual, the eternal, that's where our mind should be focused. It's a special day when I receive a gift. It was a special day when Jesus died. It was a special day when He came forth from the grave. It was a special day when He ascended back to the Father. It was a special day when I became a Christian and you became a Christian. You can think about that. My, what a gift. Salvation. Righteousness bestowed. Sitting with Christ in the heavenlies. What a privilege. What a day that was. Number four. To a child, when the gift is given, if it was one that was anticipated, he may think about, you know, boy, this was worth it. I didn't know that Christmas was ever going to get here this year. I can remember that. You can too. It just seemed like it just never was going to come. And if you got to go shopping and looking around for possible gifts, of course, there was a certain secrecy that was always involved. But if they let you, you know, tell them what you wanted and maybe try on some things, and my goodness, but then you can't see it. After it's bought, you can't see it. And you can't get a look at it until Christmas. And you're just thinking about that gift, the one you think you're going to get, the one you wanted. You just, man alive, when am I going to get to try that and have that? And when the day arrives, my goodness, it is a special day. And man, this is worth it. This is worth it. For some reason, there's a pair of black boots with blue tops that I wanted one Christmas, and I got them. And I got them, and man alive, I remember that to this day. It's just such a thing. It's worth waiting on. You know, when you talk about our release from the body, the redemption of our body, Romans chapter 8, the resurrection, 1 Corinthians 15, the coming of Christ, 1 Thessalonians 4, you keep saying to yourself as you live each day of your life, it's worth it. It's worth it. And the Lord's appearance and my resurrection unto life will render all of this worth it. It's worth, the Lord's coming is worth the wait. Eternity with God in heaven, it's worth the wait. It's really not much of a wait because life is now so short and it seems so short. And so we just pass this way in a very fast and rapid way. We wait for it. Jesus is coming back, Hebrews 9:28, to them that wait for Him unto salvation. 1 Thessalonians 4, we're going to be caught up with the clouds and meet the Lord in the air. That's the promise. It'll be worth the waiting. Worth the waiting. Number five, the gift to children. What does it mean to a child? My goodness, this is precious. This is precious. Maybe you wear them around for a while, or if it's a toy, you play with it the rest of the day and the next day and the next day. This is just wonderful. It's a precious thing. In 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter talks about Jesus and Peter talks about us. And notice in 1 Peter 2 and verse 6, he says, because it is contained in Scripture, and here's a quotation. Here's a quotation from Isaiah 28:16. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect. Now watch this next word. precious. Precious. And you have a footnote that says, now you could translate that honorable. This is worthy of honor. I value this. Little gifts to children. They value them. I did. And you did. But here he's talking about Jesus Christ. And there's a sense, and the American Standard people, they just put that word, instead of opting for honorable, they said, you can just think about it like precious. Jesus is precious. Amen to that. Sinless Son of God, sinless Savior. And He's coming back for me. And then He goes on and says, and he that believeth on Him shall not be put to shame. For you therefore that believe is the preciousness. But for such as disbelieve, then this prophecy will be fulfilled. The stone which the builders rejected, the same was made the head of the corner. So, I can think about the Lord and all that He means to me. He is my life. He's your life. He's the focus of it. He's the purpose of it. He's the destiny of it. He's precious. And he says, you know, when a person straightens up his life and he becomes a believer, he's a Christian, then God looks at him. Now, there are precious people. How many times have you looked at a little baby and that kind of word came to mind? My goodness, how precious. You just touch them. How precious. God made us to react in a certain way to things of value. How precious. And Jesus is precious. And God says, and a Christian is precious. And that's the way that I want to treat my faithful brethren. With that same estimation of value. And then number 6. It is a joy to receive a gift. You know, a little kid loves to receive a gift. It doesn't have to be a whole lot. Just something simple. But if it's new to him, he can play with it. He can have fun with it. He can enjoy it. It's just, he's grateful for it. It's a joy to receive it. Even as he knows he can't pay it back. He can't give anything back. Just little kids. Man, I appreciate that. Thank you. I appreciate that. But he can't give anything. But receiving is wonderful when you cannot reciprocate. And we all grew up that way. A long time in our lives, we couldn't give anybody anything except a hug or, you know, or shake their hand or something like that. You know, in Luke 14, 12 through 14, Jesus discussed that principle even as adults. That when you have get-togethers, He said, you need to think about having somebody that can't reciprocate. That's the way we all grew up. None of us could reciprocate. Sometimes in life, in adulthood, there are people that get involved in situations where they still can't reciprocate. And He said, you ought to remember that and think about that. Don't just call people over that can have you back. They can reciprocate. And you don't want to start counting up, you know, visits. Counting up visits and, you know, I'm not going to ask them over here again. And it's their turn to have me over there. What kind of a relationship is that going to be? We sometimes have fun with things like that. You know, you pay somebody's meal. Well, you paid last time. Oh, that's right. Or you say, well, now who's counting? Does it really matter? It doesn't really, does it? And Jesus said, you need to think about when you're throwing parties, having get-together, don't just think about having somebody that can pay you back. You want the Lord to do something for you in the resurrection for which you haven't been paid back something. Think about that way as you live life on the earth. Acts 20:35, it's more blessed to give than to receive, but that means it's blessed to receive. And I love to receive. But that brings me to the final point, number 7. What gifts mean to children? Well, even when I couldn't reciprocate, it sure did feel good to feel grateful. To be appreciative. I could feel that. I couldn't give something back. But I could feel a certain way. And my goodness, it was wonderful to feel loved. It was wonderful for something to be given to me. It was wonderful to have the feeling of thanksgiving. Now the New Testament comes along, of course, and tells us all, you need to say thank you. But also, Colossians 3 and verse 15, Paul says, and it starts right here, before you say it, you got to feel it. And he said, be ye thankful. Now there is a practical obligation. When somebody says, well, I don't feel that way. Well, you need to start. Well, you just look at my surroundings and my circumstances. You look at my wife or my husband or my children or whatever it is. I just don't feel that way. Are you saying you have no gifts from God? God has not given you anything? You got your head in the sand? What is the matter with you? If every good giving comes from God and you're saying you don't have any? It feels good to feel grateful. And a child growing up that is given gifts comes to realize how joyful and how pleasant it is when he can't give anything back. Doesn't have a job, couldn't hold it if he had one. Irresponsible to a great degree. Just a little fella. But he can be appreciative. He can be grateful. And he can say, thank you. These are some of the things I think we can think about as we think about our childhood and we think about the way that life is and the way that life works and it goes. And then God can draw on all these things as He talks to us as adults responsible for our goods in the sense that we are stewards of them. And there are certain attitudes toward them that we should have. Well, I'll tell you, 1 Timothy 4 and 2 Timothy 3, you have some good instructions with regard to how we ought to be and with regard to our goods and our blessings, marriage and meats. And I've talked to you about how that people in the world do not stand in right relationship to their blessings. They ought to be grateful. They ought to be thankful. But they don't realize how in the world blessings get sanctified for their use. And Paul told Timothy that they're sanctified through the Word of God and through prayer. Most people who have enormous gifts don't realize there is a proper relationship to have to them. And so, subsequently to their failure of knowledge, they don't stand in right relationship. I want to stand in right relationship to my gifts. And as little children can know certain things, understand certain things, and appreciate certain things, I too want to understand certain things and come to feel the way that I should feel and always raise my head to the Father above and thank Him every day for the multitudinous amount of blessings that come to me every single solitary day of my life. What a joy it is. And it is good to meditate, as we talked about in Bible class. Reflect, think about, and count your blessings. And realize in what ways the Lord has blessed you. And what an amazing thing it is. May God help us to be appreciative. If you're here this afternoon and not a Christian, come in faith. Repent of your sins, make the good confession, be baptized into Christ. If you've done that and gone astray, we encourage you to come home right now. While together we stand, while we sing, won't you come?